This weekend, we have reached a turning point in the war. It is possible that in a few hours or by tomorrow, we will have reached the point of no return. Donald Trump has threatened the Iranians, saying that on Tuesday, if the Iranians still refuse to open the Strait of Hormuz, then the Americans will destroy the Iranian power plants and bridges and universities. Basically, the Americans will start attacking critical civilian infrastructure, which will force Iranians to strike hard against the GCC, the oil fields, the desalination plants, the universities as well. And this would mean that the world would lose 20% of its energy supply. And this would be a catastrophe for the global economy. It would deindustrialize the world and would create global famine, among other problems. Okay, so next few hours, next day, we could reach the point of no return in this war. Hopefully, Trump is bluffing because he has known to bluff before. In fact, he's issued many ultimatums to Iran before, and then he sort of tackled, right? Trump always chickens out, and he said, you know what? I said a day, but I'll give you a week instead. But this time, I want to show you that it's different. I want to show you that this weekend, the Americans went all in. They launched a ground invasion. It failed. And instead of saying, you know what? We probably can't beat Iran. Let's negotiate a peace deal. What the Americans will do is they will go all in now and launch a full-scale ground invasion, call a national draft, and the world will never be the same again. Okay, so this is a tweet that Donald Trump sent to the Iranians, and he calls them crazy bastards, and he says, praise be to Allah. So a lot of people think he is now deranged. Clearly, he's angry at the Iranians. All right, so the Americans and the Israelis have constantly escalated attacks against civilian targets in Iran. So Trump ordered the destruction of Iran's largest bridge, okay? All right, right here, right? You guys see that? Okay, and this is considered a war crime, because you're not supposed to target civilian infrastructure. Now, you can make the argument that this is dual use, meaning that the military uses it as well, but everything is dual use, right? Because the military also uses water. They also use electricity. Their kids also go to university. So there's a great fear now that we're already at the point of no return. And the Iranians themselves have promised to start to attack universities in the GCC as well, okay, in retaliation. So if Trump were to destroy the Iranian power plants, this would be devastating for the Iranian economy. And there's news now that Iran is organizing a protest where young people are asked to go to power plants and form a human chain so that if the jets come destroy the power plants, they will be destroyed as well. So some people think that, okay, this is the Iranians calling the bluff of Trump. That's not a good idea, because on the first day of the war, the Americans killed 168 schoolgirls in southern Iran. So this shows that the Americans and the Israelis don't really care about human life. But by doing this, if the Americans actually do destroy power plants, and they do kill a lot of young people in the process, what this would do is galvanize the nation into total war, okay? So what's important to understand is that throughout this war, there have been different voices in Iran, okay? Some, like the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, want total war. But there are also some who are worried about the economic damage because of this war. They're also worried about giving too much power to the military, okay? But if Donald Trump goes and attacks these power plants, then the Iranians will be going to total war. They will be totally committed to destroying the American military presence in the Middle East, as well as the global economy, okay? And unfortunately, the Americans and the Israelis don't really care because they're committed to destroying Iran as a viable nation state. Already we are seeing increases in fuel prices, okay? So if you are in the red, it means that you've seen prices go up a lot, okay? If you're in the red. So America, Australia, they've seen prices skyrocket. China has also seen prices skyrocket as well as Europe. This is only just the beginning. We can expect gas prices to skyrocket so much that it essentially collapses the civilian aviation industry, meaning that in the future, if you want to fly, it might cost you 10 times as much as it does now. Okay? And this will happen very, very quickly. But again, the main issue, and I need to emphasize this, the main issue is not the fuel. The main issue is the fertilizer. And the fertilizer is important because you need fertilizer to grow food. And we are in the planting season. You guys don't know this, but it is because of fertilizer that we are allowed to support 8 billion people. If we didn't have access to fertilizer, we could only grow enough food to support 1 to 2 billion people. And unfortunately, this means that Africa and parts of South Asia, a lot of people there will starve to death. So the main concern is famine, okay? Not airline tickets. All right, let's continue. All right, so as this war is progressing, we need to step back and recognize that this is a global war. So the Ukrainians use drones to attack and destroy an oil depot, an oil terminal in Russia. And this means now that 40%, guys, of Russia's oil exports have gone offline, right? So what's happening is that not only is the Strait of Hormuz closed, but the Americans are also attacking Russia's oil, okay? So you have drone strikes in terminals, but also you don't see this in the news, but also there's basically a naval blockade. So if you are a Russian oil tanker, if the Americans come and catch you, they'll take your oil, okay? So this is basically piracy. So in other words, the American strategy before was, okay, before we were the world's global reserve currency, and as a result, we encouraged global trade. But now that our economy is suffering, well, let's just control the sea lanes, okay? So that's American strategy moving forward. All right, some major news from Germany is that if you are German male under 45, okay, basically from 17 to 45, this age group, you are not allowed to leave the country for more than 3 months without army permission. This is a prelude to a national draft, okay? And why is Germany doing this? Because Germany is an industrial nation. And if Russian energy supply goes offline, if energy from the GCC goes offline, Germany has no choice but to remilitarize and create its own energy supplies. Okay? So Germany must go to war. It has absolutely no choice in the matter. All right. So let's talk briefly about what's going to happen over the next year. So as I said before, the United States was the global reserve currency. And that meant basically that for every transaction that you made with US dollars, they could tax you, okay? Because they could inflate the price of the US dollar. But now that people are choosing to opt out of the US dollar, for example, in China, people are buying more gold, right? and people are using other currencies. America, in order to maintain its empire, has to change its strategy. Now, the main source of American power is its ability to control sea lanes, okay? Because it has military bases all around the world, okay? So in the red, these are all areas with US bases. And before, it used these US bases in order to maintain global trade. But with nations choosing to opt out of your system, now your option, now your strategy is to blockade them, right? Create a naval blockade, starve them of resources, which forces them to come beg to you for trade access, okay? So we've gone from a strategy where America guaranteed global trade to America basically being a mafia state, being pirates, and allowing you to use sea lanes and giving you trade access. Okay, does that make sense? And believe it or not, but America does not actually need to do that much work in order to control trade around the world. It just needs to control certain trade or certain choke points, okay? So the Panama Canal is one choke point, and that's why about a third of America's Navy is deployed to the Caribbean right now, all right? And its main purpose is to block off trade in the Western Hemisphere. So if you are China, if you are Japan, and you are South Korea, if you want to access Western resources, Western Hemisphere resources, you need the permission from the US government. And the example, of course, is Venezuela, where they removed the president, and now they basically have a blockade over Venezuela, and so the Venezuelan government is very cooperative, okay? They're basically very obedient. And so what we can expect next is for Trump to exert authority over Greenland. Why? Because this is the Arctic choke point, okay? Which gives you access to Canada and to Europe as well. We can also expect America to basically create a choke point over the Strait of Hormuz, right? So right now, the issue is that the Iranians control the Strait of Hormuz, but the Americans can also choose to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, does that make sense? All right? The major choke point in the world, of course, is something called the Strait of Malacca. Why? Because this is where China gets most of its resources from Africa, from the Middle East, okay? Through this very small choke point. And again, unfortunately, there are lots of US military bases in this area. So as long as America is able to maintain these three major choke points, the Panama Canal, the Middle East, and the Strait of Malacca, Greenland as well, then America can control naval access, okay? Trade access, maritime navigation. It can control all these things. And so what's gonna happen is this. The big event this year, moving forward, is that Russia will militarize its shadow fleet. Okay? Basically, Russia has a shadow fleet, about 1,000 ships. It will provide mercenaries to these ships, and then it will start to engage America in the oceans. The point is not to defeat the American Navy. You can't do that, okay? The point is to create a war of attrition, where you know that the Americans will have problems rebuilding these ships. And these ships are pretty old as well. And the sailors are on them are pretty tired. So you just force them into conflict, and then this naval capacity of the United States will degrade over time, okay? So this is something to look out for over the next year or 2 years. This conflict in the seas that will arise between Russia and the United States, okay? And then you ask yourself, okay, well, how about China? Because China is actually the main beneficiary of oceanic trade. And China is going to do China, which is to say that China is going to try to negotiate between Russia and America and try to triangulate the two and try to come to peace with all two, okay? And that often means paying both off, paying both the Russians and paying the Americans off. And that's what happened in May when Trump visits China, right? Okay, we'll talk more about that later on. Okay. So the big news this weekend, and it's something I want to focus on for the rest of the lecture, is The Americans said that one of their jets, called an F-15, this is about a $90 million plane, okay? It was shot down over Iran, okay? Basically in this area right here. And you ask yourself, okay, the Americans have air supremacy over Iran, so how is it possible for the Iranians to shoot down a plane? And the answer is this. The U.S. Air Force is not designed to fight a long war. It's designed to fight at most a two-week war. If you fight for too long, you have certain issues. One issue is maintenance. Okay? Which is, these are very expensive planes. They require a lot of maintenance. But if they're flying too much, if they have too much work, they suffer from wear and tear. Okay? Another issue is just fatigue, where these pilots are being asked to work too hard, they get tired, they get lazy. Now, the last thing is this, Iranian resilience. Okay, and all this means is that as you're bombing the Iranians have to figure out how to strike back at you. Their radar systems don't really work, so what they use is heat-seeking missiles. Okay? So rather than try to figure out where you are, they just fly missiles up in the air and hope to lock onto your heat signature and knock you down, okay? Alright, so over time, all this means is that as this war progresses, if you insist on fighting an air war, you're going to lose more and more planes. As your pilots get tired, as maintenance issues arise, as the Iranians become much more creative in their response. Okay? So a pilot was shot down, and two pilots were able to eject safely out of their plane. Now, it is the policy of the American military to leave no man behind. And this is the Americans are one of the few militaries that actually do this, where if you're behind enemy lines, they will try to rescue you. And they spent years training you on how to evade enemy captors. They'll spend a lot of resources trying to save you. And the propaganda is that this is to show you how Americans really value human life. And it's something that Americans are very proud of. But another reason why Americans do this is this optics, which is that the Americans believe that the military is invincible. And they spend a lot of money and resources in order to create this image, this aura of invincibility and invincibility. So if the Iranians are able to capture a pilot and have him appear on Iranian TV, this is a huge propaganda win for the Iranians. Meaning this, meaning that if the Americans will try their best to save you, but if they can't save you and there's a risk that the enemy will capture you, they'd rather have you killed. Okay, because they can't afford to lose this propaganda war. For the Americans, everything is optics. As I'll show you later on, this is going to be a huge issue in this war, okay, as this war progresses. Now, there are a lot of issues with the story that's being told to us, okay? So Americans said that they have successfully evacuated both pilots. They have saved both pilots. But the issue is this. The issue is that we know that the Americans created a makeshift landing strip, basically an airport, a small airport, 200 kilometers from where the airman actually was knocked down. So he had to hike a long way in order to get the landing strip. Also, he was injured. I mean, he broke his ankle or something, okay? So that was very, very hard to do. Also, he's trying to evade enemy capture. Okay, so this story doesn't really make sense. And why did the Americans decide to create a landing strip here rather than someplace closer? And why would you need 155 planes for this operation, right? Aren't you better off with just one or two to avoid enemy fire? So this is a very strange story. But it gets weirder, okay? It turns out that the Americans basically spent a lot of resources to save the pilot. It took 48 hours, and the CIA created a lot of distractions. And the Americans spent a lot of resources to save the man while the Iranians were trying to capture him, okay? And this led to the destruction of very expensive American planes. Okay, these are called C-130, so they're transport planes. And they were destroyed in the rescue operation. Now, the American story is that these planes were caught in the sand. They couldn't lift off. So Delaforce, the commandos who are trying to save the pilot, they blew up the planes themselves. Okay? And as you can see, the Americans in this operation, they lost a lot of expensive planes. The estimates are the Americans lost $300 million in planes. And even though the Americans say that there were no casualties in this rescue, we can expect that there were casualties in this rescue because a lot of planes were destroyed, okay? And again, these are very expensive planes. And throughout this war, the Americans have lost quite a few planes. The C-130 are extremely expensive, okay? All right. So this has led people to question whether or not the narrative is true or not. Now, you can make the argument that this narrative is true. You can make the argument that the American military prides itself on no man left behind, so they will do whatever they can, move heaven and earth to save that person. And that's something that the Americans take pride in. But again, there are issues with this narrative. So this is a man named Arnon Bertrand, and on Twitter, he explains that this story doesn't really make sense, okay? So the first thing is, how did a American fighter jet get knocked down in Iran when the Americans have said that they have air supremacy over the country? Another issue is that the weapons systems officer is a colonel. A colonel is a very high-ranking individual in the American military. So why would he participate in this operation? That's very strange. And even though he was injured, seriously wounded, according to Trump, he still managed to hike up a 7,000-foot mountain ridgeline and hide in a crevice in the Zagros Mountains for 48 hours despite his wounds. Also, we don't know who he is. He's never been identified. He was never interviewed by the press, which is unusual because if you rescue the man, you make him into a national TV star, right? So there are a lot of issues with this story, all right? So, Emma, could you do me a favor and just read the summary?
Okay. So to sum up, anti-aircraft equipment that supposedly didn't exist shot down an F-15 and apparently an A-10 Warthog the same day. A seriously wounded man climbed a 2.1 kilometers mountain. The U.S. seized an airfield 200 miles inside a country it's at war with, next to one of its most strategic nuclear sites, and deployed hundreds of troops, all apparently unimpeded. Lost two planes to sand and destroyed their own helicopters. Videos show heavy clashes, missiles raining down, but not a single person got even wounded. And the man at the center of it all, nobody knows who he is, completely anonymous, zero pictures, but Trump says he is safe and sound. And so is the rescued A-10 Warthog pilot, who also remains anonymous.
Okay, so again, this story makes absolutely no sense. We don't understand why they had to build an airport. We don't understand how all these planes got destroyed. And the fact that there are no casualties absolutely makes no sense whatsoever, okay? So maybe something else is going on. And people online are speculating that this was actually a failed ground invasion. And the mission was to sneak into Iran's nuclear power plant located in the area and steal Iran's enriched uranium, which it would need to build a nuclear weapon, okay? And by doing that, you deny the Iranians' capacity to build a nuclear weapon, and you can declare a victory, okay? All right, so what's the evidence for this? Well, on March 7th, 2026, So at the beginning of this war, a journalist named Barak Ravid, wrote an article in Axios, which is a Washington-based media outlet, saying that the U.S. is considering sending special forces to seize Iran's nuclear stockpile. Okay. Now, Barak Ravid is famous in Washington D.C. because he's very close with the Israelis. He himself is Israeli, so he's able to get a lot of information from the government. Okay. So from March 7th onward, there was news reporting that the Americans would insert special forces to steal the uranium. No one took this seriously because it's so stupid. Are you seriously going to send in like 100 guys into the middle of Iran and like hope they can sneak into a military base and steal that uranium and then run away? That's just retarded. No one would do that, okay? So everyone's like, this is just a psyop. This is just disinformation, okay? No one took this seriously. I didn't take this seriously at all. But then, a week ago, the Washington Post leaks a Pentagon plan to do exactly that. And it's a very detailed plan that involves hundreds or thousands of troops, okay? And the idea is to build a landing strip near the power plant in order to land forces, in order to land equipment. So this is a very detailed plan. The problem, so when this first came out, again, I didn't take it seriously because this is so retarded. Are you seriously gonna build an airport by yourself in the middle of Iran and hope the Iranians don't notice? And you're gonna land 1,000 troops in the middle of mountains where they can rain missiles on you? It makes no sense whatsoever, okay? But unfortunately, if you just look at what happened this weekend, this is the plan they used, where they sent 155 aircraft to try to create a landing strip. They sent in special forces. It was exactly the plan that Washington Post reported on, okay? But then the question is, wait a minute here. This is a top secret military plan. How did the Washington Post get this? Well, the answer is because we assume that some generals gave it to them, all right? Peter Hegseth, the Secretary of War for Donald Trump, fired the top generals for the military. And we don't know why. There was never a reason given. But we can suspect what happened was this. Donald Trump asked the generals to come up with a plan to steal the uranium. And the generals are like, let's just humor him, okay? Let's come up with this stupid, insane plan that there's no way this guy would agree to, and then we'll forget about it. They presented Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's like, this is a brilliant plan. This is a great movie. Let's do this, guys. The generals are like, oh my God, he is insane. Oh my God, we are so screwed, man. And they refuse to carry it out. So Peter Hegseth is like, well, then you're fired, okay? And then Peter Hegseth orders the new generals to execute this plan. So again, we don't know what happened. We'll never know what happened. But the evidence suggests that this might have been a failed ground invasion. Another piece of evidence to suggest that this was a failed ground invasion with the intention of stealing the uranium is that the Iranians were able to recover ID from in the crash site, okay? And it turns out that this woman happens to specialize in nuclear technology, an engineer. Why would you need an engineer who specializes in nuclear technology to rescue a pilot? Right? That's kind of strange. And the Americans have done stupid things like this before, okay? So in 1980, the Americans implemented something called Operation Eagle Claw. And the idea was that at this time, the Iranians had taken hostages, American hostages, in Tehran, the American embassy, okay? So Jimmy Carter, the president, authorized a rescue operation. But Iran was too big. So what they did was the American military set up a forward operating base in the desert, halfway between Persian Gulf and Tehran. When they landed in their base, there's a sandstorm, and a lot of their planes malfunction. And they recognize that, oh my God, it's really hard to go through such an operation in Iran, so we should just go home, okay? So that was 1980, when Americans were pretty sane. Unfortunately, Americans are no longer sane, okay? This is January 3rd, when the Americans swept into Venezuela and kidnapped their president Maduro, thus ending the conflict between Venezuela and America. This is great TV. The plan worked out perfectly. It showed that Delaforce was invincible. And unfortunately, Donald Trump believes this, okay? He believes that if we did this in Venezuela, we can do this in Iran. And this explains how and why Donald Trump would agree to such an insane plan as to try to build an American military base in the middle of your enemy, okay? So the main message here is that whoever is leading America, whether it's Donald Trump or other people, for whatever reason, they believe that optics is all that matters, okay? They think that reality is a movie, a Hollywood movie. And if they can script it properly, then the movie will turn out to be a wonderful, wonderful thing, okay? This is a war about optics rather than strategy. And unfortunately, this is just how America's going to fight the war from now on, okay? So let's just discuss what you need to win a war. If you are fighting a war, what are three things you need to look at, okay? And there are three things, and that's it. First thing you want to look at is economics. Okay, economics. Second thing you want to look at is organization. The third thing you want to look at is logistics. All right? So, what do I mean by this? Well, the first thing is resource management. In other words, you're trying to win a war as cheaply and as quickly as possible. Okay? Unfortunately, right now, the Americans are not fighting a war of economics. If you're spending $300 million in military equipment in order to rescue a pilot, you're not going to win this war. Okay? So economics is really it's really important. Secondly, is the idea of organization, which is the implementation of strategy. All right, so you have a strategy, and then you implement it. And here, what's really important is the simpler the strategy, the easier it is to implement, okay? You want the strategy to be very simple because you have to organize it, implement it. So if you are trying to build an air base in the middle of Iran so you can extract uranium from the Iranians, that's not a good organization, okay? This thing is gonna blow up in your face. The third issue is logistics, which is just supply, okay? Supply. Making sure that your forces have the necessary equipment, the resources, in order to fight the war effectively. And right now, the Americans are not concerned with any of these issues, economics, organization, and logistics. But these are the three major issues that you will need to figure out if you want to win a war, okay? And unfortunately, right now, the Americans are too much focused on optics and narrative. So that's why I think the Americans will ultimately lose this war, because the Iranians are actually fighting a real war where they're trying to win the war as cheaply as possible, where they're implementing a very simple strategy that allows for proper organization, and they are trying to maintain logistics, okay? The Americans are just trying to win the war in the most Hollywood fashion as possible. And this is going to lead to disaster, both in the short term and the long term. So the question then is, why do Americans like this? And unfortunately, the answer is because there's too much cooperation between Hollywood and the Pentagon. All right, so this is a movie, Saving Private Ryan, and this was made in the year 1998, okay? And this is one of the highest grossing films in Hollywood history, where a private named Ryan, of course, he is lost behind enemy lines in Europe. And his brothers are all killed. So his mother writes a very angry letter to General Marshall and says, all my sons are dead except for one, and he's missing. And so General Marshall is like, we can't have this. Okay, this makes us look bad. We have to win the home front. Okay, Europe, this war front, it's secondary to the home front. We need to make sure that the American people are fully behind this war. So he sends a team led by this man, played by Tom Hanks, to go and save Private Ryan. And they do, but at the cost of his life, okay? And this movie is based on a letter that Abraham Lincoln wrote to a mother in the American Civil War, okay? 1864. And this is considered one of Abraham Lincoln's most brilliant pieces of writing. Okay, so Amber, could you help me read this, please?
Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming, but I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement, and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, A. Lincoln.
Great, okay. The sacrifice upon the altar of freedom, okay? So our democracy, our republic, is our God. And our sacrifice is worth it as long as we can maintain our freedom and our liberty, okay? And this is the defining theology of the American military. All right. This has led to the military becoming more of a propaganda machine. Okay, so this is the movie Black Hawk Down. If you saw the movie, then it's about these special forces, Delta Force, that go in and save a pilot when his helicopter was brought down in Somalia. Okay, and this was based on a book by Mark Bolden writing about the incident, which happened in the late 90s. Okay, right. The problem is that this movie is complete BS. In the book, what happened was that the helicopter was brought down and the pilot was taken hostage by the Somalis. But he was treated very well, and eventually he was allowed to go home after the government paid a ransom. Okay, that's what happened in real life. But in the movie, what happened was that Delta Force went in and saved the pilot from those trying to kidnap him. And this goes back to the mythology of no man left behind. Now, there's a very important scene in Black Hawk Down where a general confronts Delta Force. And Delta Force was created for operations like this. And what the general says to Delta Force is, you guys are a bunch of cowboys. And what he's saying is that you guys, you Delta Force, you Special Forces, you guys think you're superior to everyone. You think that we all revolve around you. You think that we should all serve you. You guys are ego-driven. All you care about is glory for yourself. And eventually, your ego, your arrogance, are going to be your downfall, as well as the downfall of the American military. Okay? This is the movie, this is Jessica Lynch. And in 2003, she was serving in the war in Iraq. And her team got lost. And they were ambushed by the Iraqis. And then she was kidnapped, but then because she was injured, the military, the Iraqi military, sent her to a hospital, a civilian hospital. And the people in the hospital treated her very, very well. And they actually tried to send her home in an ambulance. But when the ambulance tried to reach the Americans bombed the ambulance, so the ambulance had to turn back. But the Iraqis informed the Americans where she was and told the Iraqis, told the Americans, you can come and pick her up anytime, okay? She's safe, we're taking care of her, but if you want to take her home, it's okay. The Americans' response organized special forces to go and rescue her, even though she was not in danger. And the media reported that she was raped, she was beaten, and she was held hostage. Okay? So that's what the Pentagon does. The Pentagon is a propaganda machine. It doesn't care about the truth. It just cares about trying to create a Hollywood movie out of a movie. Okay? So Pentagon is concerned first and foremost about creating a Hollywood movie out of a war. That's its mentality. We know this because Jessica Lynch, after she was set free, went on TV and said that the military is lying about the incident. I was never beaten. I was never in danger. The people in the hospital treated me very nice. In fact, the nurses sang me to sleep because they were so concerned about my welfare. All right. So this is a huge problem for the American military, for the Pentagon, as they fight this war. You can pull this crap when you're fighting Somalis and Iraqis, but against the Iranians, you need total war. You need to focus on economics, organization, and logistics. Stop doing this crap of optics, okay, and narrative. Unfortunately, it is now the very mentality of the Pentagon to turn war into a Hollywood movie. All right. So this is a paper written by Tanner Merlis at Brown University, and what this author talks about is how the Pentagon and Hollywood are aligned together. All right. So can you read the three major takeaways, Amber?
In exchange for the use of military equipment and personnel, movies and TV program producers must comply with Pentagon entertainment policy, including script changes to align with military goals, including recruitment and public relations. Since the inception of the Hollywood entertainment industry more than a century ago, over 2,500 war-themed movies and TV programs have been made with Pentagon assistance. Pentagon-assisted movies and TV shows frame U.S. wars as necessary and glorious, downplaying or ignoring the human, social, and environmental devastation war causes, particularly for civilians. U.S. soldiers are typically cast as noble protagonists, while those non-U.S. peoples deemed enemies of America are constantly stereotyped.
Okay, so what this paper is saying is that the Pentagon uses Hollywood in order to indoctrinate and brainwash American people to believe that war is good. Okay, so that's true. But what's also true is that by working with Hollywood, it brainwashes the Pentagon to believe that war can be like Hollywood. It can be perfected. As long as you create a good script, it will work out in the end. Okay, and this will lead to disaster in Iran. So think about, again, Donald Trump, where it's a failed ground invasion. And so if it's a failed ground invasion, what you do is you go back, you sit down with Pentagon planners, and you figure out what went wrong and how to never make the mistake again. But Donald Trump does not want to admit it was a failed ground invasion. So they made up a stupid Hollywood movie, a stupid Hollywood script, that this was a rescue of a American pilot that it will turn into a Hollywood movie at some point. And so from their perspective, this is a huge success, okay? And this is gonna lead to problems because if it's a huge success, then do it again, right? And if people think it's failure, prove that they're wrong by having success of ground invasion, all right? So unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that America right now, the American military, it's too dominated by special forces, by Delta Force, by Navy SEALs, who are interested only in their own personal glory. Okay, I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying there's quite a lot of them who understand that after this war is over, they can sign a book deal. They can write a book, make millions of dollars, which will be turned into a movie, and then they'll be a superstar. Okay, so that's how they think. And what they should be thinking about are organization, logistics, and economics. Because these are the three things that win wars. All right? Okay, any questions, guys?
I personally also think that America is likely to make a movie about saving the pirate in Iran. But I think it will be similar as Saving Pirate Ryan. But could you please tell me whether the plot of Saving Private Ryan is true or is just made it up?
Yeah, it's just a made-up movie. Yeah. Most of these things are made up. Okay, they didn't really turn out the way that they do. But like the problem with Hollywood is that it's so seductive, it's so attractive that people think they're true, okay? People think that the movie is more true than real life. And that's how not only the Pentagon works, but also like all of American society works now. Americans live in their own fantasy world created by Hollywood. And the realities of war are too far away for them to care about, okay? I mean, Americans think that, oh, at worst case scenario, the food prices will go up. And you can't really imagine how this war will ever forever change the world as well as America. Okay? Yep.
How many more of these spectacles do you think America can afford recreating? Or let's say, how many more times would America like learn to understand that this optical Hollywood act will no longer work for their plan? Will they ever?
Okay, that's a great question. The answer is they will never ever learn, okay? Because they live in a different reality. Like Donald Trump surrounds himself with people who just tell him what he wants to hear. And the reason why he's able to go in front of the press and say, what a great success in that we had in saving the pilot, okay? The reason why he's able to do that is because he himself believes this, okay? He lives in an alternate reality, a fantasy land. And that's why he's able to so convincingly tell the press and the American people that this was a great success. Even though if you look at the evidence, this was a tremendous failure. And unfortunately, this will not change. As this war continues, you have more incidents like this. We just say it's a failure that the American military and Donald Trump spin as a tremendous success. And so the American people will continue to believe that this war is going well. Okay? And we know this because this is exactly what happened in Ukraine. For the past few years, Russia has been dominating the battlefield and has been killing many, many Ukrainians. It's been a disaster for Ukraine, but you don't know this if you're American, if you're an average American, because the news tell you that this war is going great. One more day, guys, and Putin will fall. One more day, the Russian economy will collapse, the Russian people will revolt, and Putin will be out of office. One more day, and Ukrainians will reach Moscow, okay? Same situation here, where one more day, and Iran will surrender. One more day, the Iranian economy will collapse, the people will revolt, and then we'll have peace in the Middle East, okay? So unfortunately, this is modern war, where it's really about optics. But again, if you want to win this war, don't focus on optics, because ultimately, you're the one fooling yourself, okay? Yep.
But despite that, America is drawn in this kind of Hollywood and war scene, but I think they still hold dominant position and still hold the strongest military weapon in the world, and they still have, you know, the sovereignty to state and control many of those countries. How can you explain that?
Okay, you're absolutely right in that America is still the empire. And America will not fall because of this war. Worst case scenario, they lose, they go home, okay? So one thing that I want us to think about is that the strategic objectives of the Americans and the Iranians are not actually in conflict with each other, okay? So if you look at the Iranians, they want to get America out of Middle East. All right. They want to destroy the global economy, and they want to deter Israel. Okay, does that make sense? These are the three strategic objectives of Iran: to remove America out of the Middle East forever, to deter Israel. You can't destroy Israel because Israel has a nuclear weapon, but you show Israel you're strong and you can hurt them if Israel goes too far. And you want to destroy the global economy because you want to reset the global economy in a way that benefits you. Okay, so these are three strategic objectives of Iran in this war. Let's look at America. America is, okay, destroy Iran as a nation state. Okay, which basically means you destroy their desalination plants, their power plants, their universities, their reservoirs, and you try to create ethnic conflict, okay? Balkanize Iran, okay? So you basically encourage ethnic uprisings throughout the country, okay? And the last thing you want to do is isolate Iran. So you want to destroy Iran's capacity to trade with Russia and China. Okay. So if you look at what's happening, one really strange thing about this war is that these strategic objectives are not in conflict with each other. Even if Iran is able to achieve its strategic objectives, it doesn't prevent America from achieving its strategic objectives. So in other words, at the end of this war, what we can expect is both countries achieve their strategic objectives, okay? Which is to say that America is now out of the Middle East, Israel is humbled, and the global economy is destroyed. But at the same time, Iran is destroyed as a nation state, it's balkanized, it's basically bombed back to the Stone Age. All right? Does that make sense? Okay, so, and unfortunately, because the strategic objectives are different, both nations think they're winning the war, all right? Maybe objectively, we think that America is losing the war, but from the American perspective, the way that they frame their strategic objectives means that from their perspective, they are winning the war. And that's why they think that any day now, Iran will surrender. But from the Iranian perspective, they think they're winning the war, and they think that any day now, America will surrender. That's why it's impossible to get the two to negotiate a peace settlement. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, all right. Okay, all right, so on Thursday, we're doing something really interesting, okay? We are having a midterm examination. But rather than me test you, you're gonna test me, okay? So what I want you to do is think about what we've learned this semester and try to figure out where I could be wrong or where the problems in my logic are. I want you to test me, okay? And this is also true for YouTube, where if you think that there's something wrong with my logic, if you dispute what I say, then raise a question, and then my wife will read the YouTube comments and then pick out questions for me to answer on Thursday, okay? So on Thursday will be a midterm examination, but rather than me test you, you will test me, okay? And be as hard and as harsh and as difficult as you want to be. I enjoy being questioned and examined, okay? So Thursday will be a lot of fun. I'll see you guys then.